Beyond the Wrench with Jay Ginninen from Wrenchway.
This week's episode of Beyond the Wrench is sponsored by Wheeltime. The Wheeltime Network is composed of 16 technically proficient parts and service providers with nearly 200 locations spanning all 50 states and Canada. Truck and coach repair consistency and quality are their top priorities. If you're searching for a consistent, reliable, and trustworthy truck and coach repair partner, contact Wheeltime at wheeltime.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Beyond the Wrench. I am your host, Jay Ginninen, and today I have with me Randy Clements and Adam Macy from Euro Motorcars Devon. Before we get started, if you've enjoyed listening to Beyond the Wrench, be sure to rate and review this podcast on Spotify, Apple Music, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. We want to thank you all for listening and truly appreciate your support. Randy and Adam, how are you guys doing today?
Great. Good morning. Good morning. Excellent. Doing well.
Good. I have to ask right off the bat. Did I say, is it Devon? Is that correct?
Yeah, Devon. D-E-V-O-N. Right. Kind of famous for the Devon Horse Show. Yes.
Devon Horse Show. And what is the Devon Horse Show?
They bring in horses twice a year from around the world. It's famous for dressage. So they have some equestrian events as well, but the dressage component of it, which is basically kind of a horse dancing, if I could describe it. Yeah, they literally fly the animals in from around the world to compete just up the road here. Yeah, so
it's a pretty elegant event.
It is. Yeah, big deal. Lots of big hats.
I bet. All right, so let's start off the show by learning a little bit about the two of you. Randy, let's start with you. Tell us a little bit about what you do at Euro Motorcars.
Well, again, my name is Randy Clements. I'm the general manager here at Euro Motorcars Devon. I've been here for a little over 2.5 years. I've been in the auto industry for well over 30 years, and I broke into the business as a technician. So to say that I have an appreciation for what happens in the workshop is an understatement. And I think it serves me really well to be able to understand and appreciate what goes on back there. And I was just up there a little while ago looking at a car and understanding today's technology. It still intrigues me.
Yeah, and it's getting more and more advanced by the day. It's hard to keep up with at times. Adam, how about you?
So I've been in the business 21 years in September. I started as a rental car agent for a Ford dealership, worked my way up to get a Mercedes. I've been with this dealership for 13 years and counting. Started as a service advisor, just working the desk, building relationships with clients and coworkers, and worked my way up to an assistant manager position. Then finally took the role of service director back in July of 2019.
Congratulations. That's really, really awesome. And for those of you that are listening and not watching, Randy and I were just talking about they've got a kind of a picture of a 300 SL Gullwing behind him that I'm just geeking out over. It is an absolutely stunning car. It's my favorite car probably of all time. Just a beautiful, beautiful car. So really cool backdrop. So our topic of conversation today really centers around how we grow young people into the industry, how we get more techs into our shops. And a big component to that is mentorship and really giving them guidance, a young person guidance and coaching along the way to grow them. I'm curious, in your opinion, has this changed in the last, you know, decade or two? I mean, I don't know if it's always been as focused on as it is lately, but I guess, Randy, let me start with you. Have you seen changes within dealerships and shops in general when it comes to mentorship?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's changed not just over the last decade, but probably over the last couple. And it's fueled by technology. You know, let's say 30 years ago, when almost every engine operated similarly, you know, you could work on this, you could work on that. It was no big deal. Very little special tools. Now, you know, every brand is very brand centric. So the way a Mercedes operates is very specific to that brand. And you can't jump from shop to shop to shop and be successful anymore. So it's important to find someone who's passionate about the brand and then grow them and help them along through the journey of a beginning technician to an apprenticeship technician to a journeyman to ultimately a master tech or a diagnostic tech. And it takes a while, But it's critical to have a process that aids them along that journey.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I actually think the manufacturers have done a better job at creating that brand loyalty too. I think Mercedes has probably always had some level of loyal, just cool cars in general, right? So I think having the ability to have that brand presence, it creates some level of loyalty with that technician. And it's not even just a technician, right? It's anybody in a dealership that when they've got that brand loyalty, it's pride, it's passion, it's love for that brand. And I think when you're going through some of the tough days, that's the stuff that really kind of keeps you hanging in there, right?
Agreed. I mean, you know, if you're going to work for a widget company, you really want to be proud of the widget you represent. And, you know, for me, you know, a brand like Mercedes, you know, you're proud to say that I'm affiliated with a brand like Mercedes because of the car behind us, like you mentioned, and the technology they're putting out there today, cutting edge, really incredible automobiles.
And a great tagline as well, right? The best or nothing.
Best or nothing. Where do you go from there, right?
Exactly. I love that. Adam, in your experience, how has it changed since you grew up in the industry? You obviously started off at a lower level position and worked your way up. What was your experience coming into the industry? And have you been able to learn anything from your experience to apply in your day-to-day?
Absolutely. I think a lot of the way that I operate now is from experiences that I've been with, you know, throughout the industry. I started off at Ford, then I worked at Honda and Acura. And, you know, whenever I worked at those dealerships, I would see, or for those brands, I would see a Mercedes-Benz. And that would be a long-term goal of mine. And you know, I'm a very firm believer of promoting from within as well, because I was given the opportunity to take a promotion from work and keeping my head down and doing my job. But, you know, seeing Mercedes-Benz and reading about it and knowing people that worked there prior to me being with the brand was like a wow factor. It was like, wow, he works for Mercedes or she works for Mercedes. That's pretty impressive. So when I was hired here as an advisor, I always, you know, and I still to this day live by it. I say, treat every day like it's your first day, because the opportunities, when you get in a brand, it's not an easy brand to work for, but if you have the correct guidance and the correct support system, you can do very well. And I was fortunate enough, you know, where I work to have that. And it's got me to the position I'm in now.
So let's take that a step further. And as we're talking about mentorship, one thing that I like to do is give some advice to younger people getting into the industry right now. Both of you started off at, you know, a fairly humble position in some regard. I mean, I started off as a technician myself, and I think there's so much that you learn by going through that process. And so many people want to go from, you know, a porter to A-level technician in 6 months. And I think being able to instill patience in a young person, because it is intriguing to go and try to chase the money and try to, you know, advance yourself as fast as possible. But there's some levels of, like, if I were to go back and tell myself something, it would have been slow down a little bit. Like, you shouldn't be in a rush. You're 20 years old. Like, you don't need to be an A-level technician tomorrow. But I'm curious as to, and Randy, I'll start with you, maybe advice to young people out there that are looking at, you know, they're either in the career or about to enter the career. What would you tell them based on your experience starting off as a technician and working your way up the ladder?
I think you bring up an excellent point, and it's a challenge that we're faced with every day. You know, the young guys want to be rock stars right away, and it takes time. I was very fortunate. I was hired into a shop when they really didn't have a need for a full technician, but they brought me on as an apprentice. I was doing what you'd expect. I was doing oil changes and tires, and then I was observing. But because we were slow, I was forced to find work to keep myself busy. I ended up building a tool room, organizing and indexing all the tools. So I got to understand, you know, what was a special tool and what was used for what. I organized all of the bulletins because they were paper 30 years ago. They weren't on an online portal. And I put them all in 3-ring binders, and I was reading and I was building a knowledge. I wasn't chasing the dollars, but there's a lot of pressure. You know, tools are expensive. Toolboxes, everybody wants this big, shiny, you know, colorful toolbox and all of these things. We focus on the long game here because we're jumping right in here. This is really the mentorship that we build here. Is we have an express team, and that express team isn't what I think some other places use it, which is just the quickie lube tire fix. Now, it is that, and they do that work, but they also do work above that. And it's teaching the technician not just how to fix a car, but how to go over the car for potential upsell work. We have a video MPI, so they're filling out not just an electronic multi-point inspection, but they're doing a video also, because there's nothing more impactful to a client than to see, you know, hey, you have worn control arm bushings, Adam. What does that mean? Well, let me show you. Hey, look at the play in the joint. You know, you have an oil leak. Well, what does that really mean? Well, let me show you. And you can see the oil coming down and getting onto the exhaust. So they're learning about doing the MPI. And I was thinking about doing this podcast on the drive-in this morning, and I think the most overlooked tool a technician has is their pencil, mm-hmm. is the story. So obviously now we're doing it on a computer, but you know, the communication around the complaint, the cause, and the correction, how effectively you communicate what you found and what you did really dictates how you're going to get paid. So if you're running full speed ahead about getting this job and getting it done and getting the next job, and you overlook that communication piece, you're going to cost yourself a lot of money. So we slow them down and they go through time on this team, and I'll let Adam expand. That's where they learn not just to be a tech, but how to be an employee, how to be a brand ambassador, and really invest in themselves for the long game, so that 3, 5, 7 years down the road, they're as efficient and productive as they possibly could be.
And Randy's spot on with that. And traditionally, even our shop specifically, I believe probably 60 to close to 70% of our shop, going back, and we'll go in generations, you know, starting from the mid to late 80s, these guys started as 20, 21-year-old guys. And then we go into the 90s, same thing, the 2000s, now into the 2010s and 2020s. We've grown these guys. So I always say that the guys that I hire, the younger guys coming out of school or coming out of Mercedes Drive, can always make more money, but you can't make more time. This is your time where you're building your career. And Mercedes-Benz, it kind of goes both ways, because some of the younger generation guys or the new to the brand guys are coming out with, now we're doing a lot of the electric cars with the EQS, and the brand evolves so fast, they're almost a step ahead of the game because they're learning some of the new things as the new products are coming out. So you're already a step ahead in the marathon. And it's our goal and our duty to put these employees in a position to be successful long term, because the business is going to stay. You know, the cars are going to still be manufactured. We're going to need people to repair and fix these cars correctly. So, you know, we're dedicated to growth, and it's a personal goal of mine, because I'm a product of it. You know, I started as a rental car guy. Now I run a luxury dealership, or help run a luxury dealership on the main line. If you asked me this 20 years ago, I would have said it's a prayer and a wish. My shop foreman was a line tech right out of Mercedes Drive, 20 years old. Now he is a shop foreman. My shop manager, the same. So, you know, promoting from within and growing long term will be there. You know, your goal is to absorb, learn, and adapt, and give us the stuff that we can't teach. Work ethic, attitude, willingness to learn, and we'll put you in a position to be successful. It's proven here over the past 35 years.
There was so much that the two of you said there to unpack, that it was so good. I give you a lot of credit for that growth and development, right? And I think that's where, you know, mentorship and talking about it, we probably talk about it more now than we always have. But in some ways, the better dealerships and the better shops have done that for a long time. And I think that's, you know, the longevity of your staff is probably a testament to that. The one thing that I love is that you've got examples of people that have done that, right? That have started off at a lower level and worked their way up, and just know the grind it takes to get there. The other thing I said, or that I was listening, as I was listening, that really stuck out was building brand ambassadors. I know we talked about that a little bit before, but when you're working on a luxury brand, I'm assuming professionalism is probably pretty important, right? It's not, you can't go out all greasy and hop in, you know, some $100,000, $150,000 car. You, as a technician, you have to represent the brand. And I think it's just so vitally important. And when you guys are going through your onboarding and your mentorship program, the ability to focus on that and talk about how we're professionals, right? This isn't a, you know, we're not a lube tech, you know, kind of that persona. We're professionals. We're representing the entire brand every time we talk to somebody, right?
Yeah, 100%. And the gentleman that run the day-to-day operation of the Express team's been here for 36 years. He would be proud to tell you he is a brand ambassador for Mercedes. And he's also a father, and he brings that father figure to the team. He wants to be proud of what that team produces. And it's not just the actual labor. It's that the car leaves here just as clean as it did when it came in. The radio presets are exactly the way the customer had them. The seat is back where the customer left it. You know, it isn't just the fixing of the car. And it's also, you know, we're an advocate to the customer. You know, it's our responsibility to advise them that their tires are getting low, not just because we want to sell more work, but because we want them to know that we have their back and we are advising them, and we're their one-stop shop. You know, and we want them to know that if we drop it off at Euro Motor Cars Devon, they're going to take care of me. They're not going to oversell me. They're going to let me know what I need. They're going to give me a video that shows me what I need, that builds my confidence, and the car will be returned in great shape. So having someone, who better than a gentleman who's been here for 36 years to talk about loyalty and build retention, you know, it's not BS when you've been at the same place for 36 years.
And Randy makes a comment, I guess, weekly when we meet, whenever he walks through the shop, you know, and we're building a culture, but one of the happiest and the guys with the biggest smiles on their face come from the Express department because of that pride that our Express mentor has. And, you know, I speak to him daily, and his thing is, you know, again, we go back to, you can always make more money, but you can't make more time. Time comes, and eventually people will get older, people will retire, but there's that pride, and that pride for the brand and the dealership, that we want to see this place be successful long beyond our years. And he is dialed in with that, knowing that these guys are the future. And I walk through the shop, and whenever I walk through Express, I say, there's the future. What's up, guys? And they laugh. They think it's a joke. I said, no, I'm being serious. You guys are the future. You know, you guys are going to run this dealership and run this shop at some point. You know, look at the history. You know, the guys who are running it now were you guys 20, 30, 35 years ago. And it goes a long way. And it's a lot of pride. They feel appreciation with that because it's meant, and it's not just being said. It's really something that we mean, because again, the dealership's going to be here. The brand's going to be here. You know, we build for the future, and we invest in our guys to be successful in the future because we want them to take the reins and have a good career and have a lot of pride in what they do.
And you think that makes them puff out their chest a little bit more that day? I mean, that's the little stuff that is so, so important to shop management.
Yeah. So I've worked for four brands, and, you know, every brand I took an experience with me, whether it be positive or negative. And the one thing that I had said to myself when I got into a position to be in management, if I ever did, you know, I would always remember the bad experiences I had, and I would make sure that I would try to correct them. So, you know, I think a lot of issues, whether it be in this business or any businesses, there's a lack of appreciation for a younger generation or somebody new to the brand, regardless of the position, especially technicians. So you got to show them that you're their advocate. You're going to be there for them. You're going to be there to support them and put them in a position to be successful. They have to do their part too. But if they know that they have support from management and upper management, then the sky's the limit. And I think it's important to let them know that each day. And when they do well, you reward them, you show them your appreciation. If they make a mistake, it's not a beating session. It's a, how do we fix this to prevent it from happening? We're all learning new things each day. Even myself, Randy, you know, everybody, you know, that's the beauty of this business. It evolves so quick. So you're always learning something new, and we look at it as a learning experience.
And we've all had our butts kicked at some point over the course of our time in a shop. I don't think anybody's gone through and had perfect record all the way through to the top. One thing I did want to ask about is, you talk about this Express mentor that you've got that's been there for 36 years.
Was 36, it? Yes.
36. I want to give him a shout out and be able to maybe discuss the traits of what makes him a good mentor. I know you mentioned, Randy, the father figure piece. I know in other podcasts or other content that we've done, when I'm talking to some, having almost that coach's mentality a little bit. And I'm just curious I think a lot of people look for that really good mentor and aren't as lucky as you guys are to have an individual like that. What, Randy, what makes him great? What are the things that are really the reason why he is the way he is?
So I'll step up one level. The one thing that I've really tried to cultivate here since I arrived is a team mindset, Team Devin. And this business is it tends to be more lone wolf than team oriented. You know, if you're a salesperson, you're going to speak to a client, you want to sell a car, that's how you get a commission. If you're a service advisor, you speak to a client, you sell some work, that's how you get a commission. Same thing for technicians, one tech, one car. But if you go up a level, it's really not, you know, because a salesperson can't work every hour of every day. A client comes in, you want to make sure somebody takes care of that client. A service advisor, same thing. You're busy with the client, you want somebody to help you out in the interim. A technician, you know, oh, I need to push a car in. Geez, will somebody help me? Here they will, because it's a team. Maybe somebody else did this operation a week ago. Hey, you just put in that transmission in the car. What did you see? Did you see something I need to watch out for? Here they'll let you know. Kenny buys into that team mindset, and he bought into it long before I arrived, right? So it's an express team. They share in their victories. They share in their learning moments. And I mentioned before that he's a dad, and he's a proud dad. And I don't want to oversimplify his approach to the team, but he whether he has his hands on the job or one of the express technicians has their hand on the job, he approaches it like it's his. And he's going to be proud that it's done right, like a proud dad, you know, like you would be when your kid comes home with a report card or they won the softball game. He approaches each and every job, each and every day with that mindset of a father and a coach. And he teaches them to do it right. I think if he was here, he would say, we're going to teach them to do it right. They can learn how to do it faster later. Mm-hmm. But once you know how to do it right, then you can do it more quickly.
Yeah.
And actually, if we give Kenny a shout out, if you go to the Euro Devin page, we have some videos out there. Kenny does have a video and he talks about his experience and his approach to running the Express team. So if you want to know more about Kenny, you can go find that out.
Yeah, we'll try to get Kenny, a link to that to the show notes too, by the way, because I think that is a really, really good point. Sorry, Adam.
No, Kenny took me under his wing. I would never forget my second week here. I came from Honda, and again, it was very intimidating to work for a luxury brand on the main line. Kenny happened to have a friend who lived around the corner from me, and he was visiting his friend, you know, whatever, just hanging out, going over to see them. And I get a text message on a Thursday night at 7 o'clock out of nowhere. Hey, what are you doing? Sitting in my living room. I'm coming over. You want to drink a beer? Little things like that. Comes up. We talk for an hour, just chat about the business, you know, how am I adapting, things like that. So he generally cares about the individual. It's not just about numbers, fixing cars. It is, but it's about the person too, because my mindset and my mind frame is happy employees make happy customers. If you have an appreciation, and again, is life perfect? Are you going to have bad days? Of course. But if you have an appreciation for what you do and where you work, it'll reflect in your work. And he's very good at doing that. He has that aura about him where you can generally tell that he cares about you and what you're going through, and he'll do all that he can to put you in a position to be successful and work with you on it. He really cares. And prior to that, when I was starting, he wasn't in that position. He was a line tech. So he was a general flat rate technician, just a random guy who had a ton of experience. And that stuck with me for a long time. And still to this day, you know, he didn't have to do that. You know, I'm some 26-year-old guy, came from Honda, didn't prove myself. And he really opened up to me. And, you know, I really am grateful for that to this day.
Talk about legacy, right? Like that the legacy that he's leaving, even, you know, when he was not being probably compensated for it, or he was not, you know, it wasn't his job to do, he's just being a good person and trying to help you out as a young person. And I talk a lot about the impact of my early mentors and like how important they were to me and how important they still are. I still, from my first job, have the business card of one of my first mentors who had passed away, and it's in my office, and I see it every single day. And it's one of those things where, you know, it kind of gives me chills just talking about it. It's just like the legacy that somebody like him is leaving is so impactful, And I hope he, and it sounds like you guys do such a good job at letting him know that, but man, is that huge. That is such a big, big deal for a dealership.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, if we have to do the math, I would say around 50% of the shop has come through that team. Mm-hmm. So the pride isn't just overlooking them while they're on the team. It's when they graduate, if you will. And we'll talk about that next step. They don't go just from there to a flat rate bay. We have another interim spot for them. But eventually they become a flat rate technician. And now they're working shoulder to shoulder. And he doesn't lose sight of the fact that he had a say in their growth and development. And he's very proud to know. I mean, his job is far and away more difficult than it would be to just be that one tech, one car. Because on any given time, there's four or five guys on the team. He's looking out for them. You know, so he's managing four or five different operations at the same time. It'd be easier to go look after a single car, but he loves what he does and he's very, very passionate about doing it.
So we've talked about the mentor and the importance there. Let's talk about the meat and potatoes of this mentorship program and you know, where it starts at and kind of give us a guide of the evolution of a tech. You know, maybe not every scenario is probably going to be exactly the same, but if you wouldn't mind, walk us through what your mentorship program is, what it means, anything you wish to talk about. And I don't know which one of you wants to start, but I would love to hear more about it.
Absolutely. So, and it varies. You know, our goal when we hire a technician is to develop, and we're looking long-term. We look for a career, not a job. So if you're out of school or an independent shop, you start an Express with Kenny. Now that we don't put a time on that because everybody's different. It may take certain individuals longer time to adapt or certain ones faster. So we will not rush anybody out. We want to make sure that they're comfortable. It's almost counterproductive to do so. So you're in Express, you're learning the ins and outs of our multi-point, our video, MPI, how we do our day-to-day. And the ins and outs of the vehicle as well. What are specific complaints, concerns, recalls, so on and so on. That varies per individual. You know, a lot of guys are there anywhere between 6 months to a year. I've had a couple guys go out in 4 months. I've had a couple guys go out in a year and a half. Varies on the person. We're fine with that because, again, this is a marathon. It's not a, you know, it's not a sprint. Once you're out of Express or graduate Express, we put you side by side with a lead technician, a gentleman or somebody who's had a lot of experience with the brand, knows the ins and outs. You work hand in hand with them. You're in the bay next to them. They're teaching you warranty punches, specific repairs, answering any questions for technical things, vehicles with common problems, how to be as efficient as possible and do it the correct way. That varies on an average for about 90 days, about 3 months. But again, we've had guys adapt very fast. And, you know, within 60 days, they're on their own, but they're never fully on their own. Some guys take 4 or 5 months. That's fine. We meet with these guys, with the team leads and Kenny. We'll meet with them monthly and say, how are we doing? What are your thoughts? And then we meet with the individual. Are you comfortable? Are you ready for the next step? If you are, we do it. If we all agree, if not, we give you a little bit more time. And then, you know, the goal is when it's all said and done, you're a Mercedes-Benz flat rate technician. When you are, you know, the team lead and Kenny and even our shop foreman, they're always in sight. You know, I have a couple guys who've been come from domestic brands. They're still here. They run into a couple issues here and there. So their team lead's right there working with them. They stopped training them over a year ago, but he's still there hand in hand because it's, again, like Randy says, it's a team effort. If you don't succeed, we don't succeed. So that culture that we're building in the shop is key. And that's really our process. Now, with that, I'm going to kind of fast forward way down the road. I'm a big fan from promoting from within, and we keep going back to time. Time is not on our side. Time doesn't stop. So, you know, my foreman, my diag tech, we all promote from within. So when there's an opportunity for a promotion, we look from within. And if there are opportunities there, we offer to the person who may be interested, and we take it into serious consideration, because I believe rewarding from within is a lot better than bringing somebody in from the outside. We like to grow and develop. And we go from there.
How do you map that out then, right? Like if you know, if, you know, depending on the level of technician that you're trying to promote to, how do you know if they're ready? Is it, hey, you've taken this much training, you don't have any rework or you have very little rework, you know, give me an idea of what that means of like, how do you know when they're ready to go to that next step?
It's a company, we call it school. They learn they do their service towards the end of that first month into the second. We start working, we start monitoring their hours, seeing how their work is. Is it clean? How are they doing? And then we meet with their trainer. How are they doing? And then we meet with them. Are you comfortable? How are you adapting? And we do that on a monthly basis and we see. And then I think it's a group effort. The trainer has to feel comfortable. The person who he's training has to feel comfortable and we have to feel comfortable. But towards the second to third month, we start monitoring their time, seeing how they're turning hours. Are they efficient? Are they looking to rush? Is there things that we can improve on? If there are, then we focus on those. We improve on those and then we go from there.
Randy, anything you want to add to that?
That's really well said. I think, you know, it's a big investment for us because we're providing comp for this mentorship. And we don't rush it, though, because if the investment doesn't pay off in the end, then it was all wasted time. So I think Adam speaks to it. You know, it's really down to the individual. You know, a lot of dealerships will simply say, welcome to the dealership 123. There's your bay. Have at it. And if the technician is struggling, they're getting frustrated. If you're frustrated, you're probably going to rush. If you rush, you're going to make mistakes, you know, and if you're not making hours, then you get even more frustrated. So back to that conversation from earlier about this advice about slowing down, you know, learning the process, learning the diagnostic protocol, learning the procedures, learning how to upsell, learning all of these things when you've got some protection and some assistance from a team lead sets you up for success when you get a chance to be in your own bay and you're actually responsible for producing your own hours. And we talk a lot about kind of the younger, less experienced techs. We have just recently brought on, we have a 6-year experienced tech who came on. He immediately went with a trainer. So he's got that oversight. And we have a 12-year master German brand tech who just came on and he also went with a trainer. Now he's already showed us he's not staying there for long because he is a master tech. But again, learning the Mercedes diagnostic protocol versus the other brand, it's just different. It's not better or worse. It's just different. And having somebody there that helps you navigate that certainly makes the day that much easier for you. And you're going to get yourself to that point where you're producing hours and you're happier in a much more efficient way.
Adam, go ahead. It looked like you wanted to add there.
I think what Randy said is very important, that even if you're an experienced technician coming from a different brand, you may not make that pit stop in Express, but you will still work with a senior technician just because you're switching brands. So this could be completely different than what you were working on. So we don't want to just say, all right, you have 10 to 12 years experience. There's your bay. Good luck. You know, turn your hours. We'll see what happens. Doesn't work that way. You know, we want to get you into your rhythm and get comfortable with our process. And you know, like I said, some people adapt a lot faster. Some people take a little bit more time, which is both fine. You know, we're running a marathon here. And our goal is development and growth in the long term. So regardless of where you come from, you're still going to get the assistance and help and guidance that you need as you need it.
One of the things I think you guys are doing such a good job at is building confidence along the way, right? Where I think in a lot of cases, there's a lot of shops out there that are very much sink or swim right off the bat. And it doesn't allow a young tech specifically to gain confidence. And, you know, ASE puts out a stat that roughly 42% of technicians leave the industry within the first 2 years they enter the industry. That's crazy. We have such a shortage of people, and yet we're not getting half of them through right off the bat.
Have you ever wanted to know what's going on at the best auto, diesel, and collision shops in your area? Look no further. Wrenchway is gathering updates from local shops and dealerships and putting them in a one monthly newsletter. No spam, no recruiters, just industry professionals talking shop. Now available in Atlanta, Austin, Boston, Charlotte, Dallas, Denver, Madison, Philadelphia, Portland, and Tampa, with more cities coming soon. Learn more and subscribe by visiting wrenchway.com.
Talk to me about the importance of building confidence in a young person so that they are confident that they put a wheel on something as simple as that and they're going through a torquing procedure, making sure it's torqued correctly, that they make sure the wheel's not going to fall off. You know, I think with a young tech, it is so imperative to get that authentic confidence in them and showing them that they can do that. And I feel like you guys are doing it, but I want to hear from you. What is that, the power of confidence and the necessity for that confidence?
Well, I think it goes back to a little bit what we talked about earlier too, which is in those early stages, not, you know, it's a difficult journey. You know, I mentioned tools are expensive. Toolboxes are expensive. Here we provide a toolbox for the technicians, so they don't have to make that big investment. On the express team, they pull from a set of tools for a lot of the general functions, so they don't have to go ahead and make that investment initially. So we give, you know, eventually you're gonna invest in your tools. And as a former tech, I still have my toolbox. I still have all of my tools. They're an extension of you as a technician, but we give you an opportunity to grow into that. And back to what Kenny teaches about doing it right, there is a process for everything. There is a procedure for everything. And if you learn that, you learn that repetition, you know, did I go through the sequence of torquing? Yes, I did, because I do it the same way every time. And I know that if I'm standing here, that I did those other three wheels. And that is that significance about going slow in the early phases, in the early stages of your career, learning to do it right, and then you can learn to do it faster later.
Yeah.
And that's where the confidence comes from. And again, knowing that whether you're on Express or with a trainer, we also have a shop form and we have two diagnostic techs and a shop manager. There's always somebody there in that team, Devin, that if you have a question, they're there to help you, because we are all going to win together. We don't leave anybody behind.
Yeah. And I think a lot of it is morale too, you know, showing appreciation, you know, something we often take it for granted being in the business, as simple as doing a tire. Okay, it's a tire. In the client's eyes, that's a huge issue. That's a huge problem. That could prevent them from going to work, on a vacation, missing a deadline. So, you know, thanking them, like, nice work, you know, appreciating what they do, because I don't want to say us, but what the car business looks at is simple, basic routine maintenance or services or light bulbs, tires, you know, in a client's eyes, that's not that simple. And these guys have a trade that they are working on. And even the entry level repairs, like an express job, is, there's a lot of pride in that. And we show appreciation. You know, I thank those guys every day. And I'll give kudos to Kenny, because Kenny gets vacation. He's on vacation this week. He has a process in place. That department's running like a well-oiled machine. And I go up there every morning and every afternoon. I thank them. What'd you thank us for? We're doing our job. I said, that's why I'm thanking you. You're doing your job and you're doing it well. And if you make a mistake, you know, we don't crucify you. We look on how to improve it, what the mistake was, and we get a process in place to make sure that you don't do it again. And then, you know, these guys adapt well. But I think appreciation goes a long way.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And I love the fact that you touched on the details. I know I've read a lot about John Wooden, the UCLA basketball coach, and how he taught his players, who are all these incredibly talented people, how to put their socks on and how to tie their shoes so that their shoelaces wouldn't come untied during the game. And it was that little attention to detail that made a huge difference with them, even with crazy talented people. And to have Kenny walking through a process, you know, I think that in itself breeds confidence, just knowing that you're doing it the right way. And there, you don't have to second guess yourself. If you follow this process, things are going to turn out all right. I mean, it's so refreshing to hear your approach to this, because I don't know that this is done everywhere.
Well, I was going to say, you know what, we talk a lot about Express for all the right reasons, but even these two gentlemen that have come over to us recently, 6 years with one brand, 12 years with another, every brand has its little nuances. And as a technician, I'm going to bring a car in a bay. I want to optimize that car while it's in the bay. And it takes time to know what to look for, like bushings and suspension pieces. If you're not quite sure how they're supposed to behave, you don't know if it's worn or if it's operating properly. So it's also building the confidence in these individuals, although they're experienced technicians, not Mercedes experience. We're building confidence because we have a trainer with them that can show them how to optimize that car. And it gets them Mercedes comfortable much more quickly than if they had to navigate that on their own.
Yeah. It's very, you know, it's very counterproductive to try to, or attempt to ask somebody to, you know, sink or swim, I guess you could say. It just, I don't understand it. And it helps long term. Again, we're running a marathon here. We're building for the future, you know, so you got to have the right processes in place and the dedication and the appreciation as well. You got to feel appreciated. You got to show the appreciation. And, you know, everybody thinks that I'm coming in and I'm doing my job. Why are you thanking me? Because you're here, you're working. You know, that's fortunate. And we're fortunate for that. We're grateful for you. If it wasn't for the technicians, if it wasn't for, you know, it's a people business. If it wasn't for us, then we wouldn't have a job. So it goes hand in hand from the advisor to the technician, whether you're an express tech or a master tech. Take pride in what you do. With that pride, if you know, comes appreciation, and it goes a long way.
Talk to me about the communication with the mentor themselves, right? So being able to gauge the progress on the mentees, you know, how are they coming along? How often do those conversations happen? Is that something that's daily, weekly, monthly? How are you communicating with the mentor?
I think it's casually all the time, casually, formally once a month, where you evaluate, you know, how much rework, to use your word, you know, comebacks, rework.
Comebacks,
how clean how clean is the work? What's the production like? Are they producing at a standard that would show that they're able to go and be a flat rate tech? How many questions are they asking? How much assistance is really being provided to produce those hours? So that formally is done monthly. And it doesn't happen often, but last year we had someone actually go back to Express because they had moved off and they were with the trainer and they weren't developing as fast as maybe we needed them to. So we gave them the opportunity to go back and we're creating that safe environment. Go back and get your confidence up, get your abilities up. And then when it's time, you know, you'll have a chance to move on again. So, you know, formally once a month, but casually it's happening all the time.
Yeah.
You know, hey, how's it going? Oh, good. Well, you know, and just, we're always in the shop. We're as a team, we're always making sure that everything is flowing the way it needs to. And, you know, obviously, you know, in this world in general, we talk about problems more than we do anything else. So if there's an error, you know, that is certainly talked about, you know, at the moment. And we address, how did it happen? How can we prevent it from happening? That sort of thing.
In the event somebody has to go back to Express, that's always a challenge in management, right? Where you might have a good person, they're just not ready for that stage yet. And being able to almost send them back to AAA, right, without them getting their confidence down. And I don't want to demean that or even say that in light, like sending them to AAA or anything like that. But, you know, it in a lot of people's minds is regression. And I don't think people are often accepting of that. So how do you talk to them about that? How do you work them through that so that they don't get their head down and really can come back from it? And Adam, I'll start with you with this one.
Yeah, it's again, it goes to appreciation. If they have the three things that we can't teach, which is attendance, attitude, work ethic, it's not an easy discussion. But, you know, a lot of times, and it's only been twice in my career where we had guys have to go back for a short term and then they came back to the main shop. But they're almost wanting that. And they're afraid to bring it to maybe management's attention because they don't know what the outcome will be. So how are you making out? You know, how are you doing? And, you know, how are you feeling? And you can tell if they're not producing the hour. So, you know, again, this is an investment. If you have to take a step back to take 10 steps forward, that's fine. We're here. You know, we're a team. Like Randy says, we're Team Devin. It's not, you're not cutting it. This might not be for you. No, you have the things that we can't teach. So if you have to take a step back, you do, and then you're going to take 10 steps forward. And a lot of times I see a sigh of relief sometimes when that happens, because as a flat rate tech, you're focused on turning hours. And if you're not turning those hours, then your livelihood could be affected and you almost want a release or relief. And a lot of times with the 42%, I think, you know, a lot of guys may be leaving the industry because of that. There's no, I can't make this. No, you can make it. You might need a little bit more guidance or
a safety net.
A safety net?
Yeah, the Express, it offers them a safety net where, as a flat rate tech in that sink or swim world, if you feel like you're drowning, those 42%, to Adam's point, are probably saying, you know what, I'm going to go do X, as opposed to being a flat rate tech, where the Express gives them that safety net to build the confidence, to build those processes so that they're ready to go and be a flat rate technician.
Yeah, no, I mean, when I first started, I was the assistant. We were in a similar situation. And this gentleman went back to Express. It was there for, I think 5 months, and then he came back out and he was one of our most efficient technicians. We're very proud of him. He's come a long way.
And there's stories of guys, you said AAA, there's guys that were in the majors that went back to AAA, got their, whatever their glitch was in their swing, they got it worked out. They came back to the majors. I mean, we're outside of Philadelphia. We won a Super Bowl a few years ago with a backup quarterback. It doesn't mean you can't have success. Everybody goes through the journey at a different pace, and we'll set up the environment here to tailor, meet them on their journey and get them where they need to go.
Yeah.
As a Packers fan, it pains me to hear that you guys won a Super Bowl, but that's all right. That's all right.
No. Well, I'm a Packers fan too, but I was born in Wisconsin, so that's, you know, you kind of get that too when you're born there. You gotta be a Green Bay fan.
Yeah, you don't have a choice. In regard to mentorship, and we've got just under 10 minutes left in the podcast, I want to talk about the business case for having a proper mentorship program. And a lot of what we talked about was more along the emotional side and making sure that we're taking care of the people, right? And I think that's such an important piece to understand. But there are a lot of people out there looking at it as, okay, if I've got somebody in the shop and they're not turning hours, I'm not making money, and they kind of put mentorship and really properly doing this on the back burner. I want to talk to the business case of this. And one of the things that's really stuck out to me that both of you have talked about is playing the long game rather than the short game and how important that is. Is there a business case, a good business case, to where you could go if you're that maybe fixed ops director that's out there or general manager and you want to go to your ownership and maybe the ownership's not buying into it, that you can sit down with them and have a really good case to putting this in place, right? To where you can have some structure behind a mentorship program. Is there anything that, or any advice maybe for that manager out there that needs to go have that conversation with ownership about putting a mentorship in place? And Randy, I'll maybe start with you first.
Well, I would say that mentorship is not a standalone initiative. Yeah, Adam mentioned the word appreciation a couple of times. I think it fits into that umbrella of appreciation. If you don't appreciate what is happening in the workshop, then maybe mentorship just seems like a burden or an expense. You know, we're very proud to offer a lot of appreciation and recognition awards. Every technician gets an annual appreciation package. It's different each year, but it's a good size box. It'll typically have a winter ski cap. You know, it'll have a knit cap. It'll have a ball cap. It'll have like a half zip. It'll have a jacket of some sort. It'll have a Yeti, you know, whether it's a water Yeti or a coffee Yeti. Last year it had a lunch pail. I mean, it's not like trinkets and trash. It's a genuine appreciation package. And that doesn't need to happen, but it goes hand in hand with the other areas of appreciation. We have a retention bonus that you earn for being here. That's an appreciation for your time and investment into our organization. So if you don't have that sort of approach to the shop where you appreciate and you recognize, then that mentorship probably doesn't just make sense. It's not just an ROI. It's an overall vision for how we interact with our employees.
Yeah. And it starts from the top. You know, my only advice is, you know, everything starts from the top, from the owner to the general manager down. So, you know, as an owner, as a business owner, you know, you want to see your business thrive and succeed. So it goes back to what we had said earlier. Happy employees make happy customers. If you appreciate where you work for, because you know that you have your owner, your general manager, your service manager, salesman, whoever's support, and they have your back, quote unquote, it makes you appreciate what you have a little bit more. You know, every business that I have friends that are in business, and I've seen every business where if there's that lack of appreciation, little things go a long way. So, you know, if you want to see your business succeed and excel and be there for the long haul, you have to value your employees, appreciate them, and put them in a position to be successful. A lot easier said than done, but if you put a process in place, you're building, again, this is a marathon. Business is a marathon. This is not a one-week thing. This is a career. So, you know, if you own your business, you want to make sure that you're in the best position to be successful. And that starts with the employees. It's not the dealership or the brand. It's what's inside of the dealership, in my opinion, is what counts. You know, the car business is the car business. You know, fix cars, keep clients happy. Easier said than done. But it's what's inside of that dealership is what matters. If you have that support there, it makes you more efficient knowing you have support.
Well, and it's this is my opinion, but it just makes for a more fun business to run when you have that approach, right? It's inclusive. It's more, you know, it's more team oriented, and it's not us versus them. It's we, and trying to get everybody on the same page, which I think you guys have done an outstanding job with. Mark Mia is impressed. I was blown away by you guys on this podcast. This was really, really good, and a lot of really good tangible advice for folks listening to be able to take back to their shops and hopefully implement, because you guys are doing it the right way. And just in talking to you, I can tell it's from the heart. It's not fabricated. It's not something that's not real. And at the end of the day, I think that's what it's all about. That's what the best dealerships out there, best shops, best businesses, whatever, when they're people oriented from the top, that makes a huge impact on the people that are in the business. And I think you guys are doing that as well as anybody. So thank you so much for joining the show today. It was an awesome, awesome show. I've got a whole list of notes here of everything that you guys had talked about. So I appreciate you guys taking the time to do this today.
Yeah, happy to do it. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. It was a pleasure.
All right. We'll have you guys back on again at some point in the near future.
Awesome. Great. We'll be there. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.